Well, what a great reading of that story. Thanks, Henry, for helping with that. That sort of brought it right to life for us. I'm going to start with the other Samuel, though, the Samuel that you saw in the video. And I'm going to call him Sam so we don't get confused. I met Sam at lunch on a Sunday afternoon in Kigali, Rwanda. I'd been there since Tuesday, but it was the first that he had been with our group. A learning tour with MCC Alberta and participants from four different congregations in our province. And for the first few days that we were in the country, Sam had been collecting soil samples from across the region for the Rwandan government. You see, Sam is an MCC agronomist, a crop and soil science specialist. Who researches and advises on improving agricultural production, sustainability, and crop yields. And like I said before, I'm a city girl. So I asked Sam to tell me how he became an agronomist. And his eyes lit up and he got that big smile on his face and he said, "It's a long story." But I knew that we would have not only our meal time, but in the days to follow, hours on a bus as we traveled to different projects across the country. So I said, "I've got the time. Let's hear it." Sam grew up in rural Rwanda. He is the son of a farmer, as you heard him say, and he dreamed of becoming a doctor. He wanted to make a difference in his community and country. And he thought that medicine would be the very best way to do that. In high school, he worked hard to get the grades he knew he'd need to convince the Rwandan government that he was doctor material. In Rwanda, students apply to university and express interest in a program of study, but the government decides where you will go and what you will learn. Sam told me he remembers well the day a friend called. The results of their university applications had been posted. The friend had been directed into medicine, as several in his group of friends had planned. "But Sam," the friend said, "they put you into something called agronomy?" Sam had absolutely no idea what agronomy was. He'd never even heard of it. His dream of becoming a doctor was falling apart before it had really begun. And another friend who'd been redirected to an alternate program of study was determined to appeal the government's decision. And Sam knew that he could appeal too. But in high school, Sam hadn't just focused on academics. He'd also been growing in his faith, learning about God and listening to God. And though he didn't know what agronomy was, something made him pause. Could it be that this was God at work? This was not what Sam wanted. It was not what he planned for or hoped for. And yet a door stood open to an unknown path full of uncertainty. Sam chose not to appeal the decision. Instead, he stilled that fighting desire within him to push forward and to keep moving in the direction he thought was best. And he chose instead to say yes and to step into what he felt might be God's leading through the Rwandan government's decision. As Sam shared different chapters of his life story with me, I learned that this young man has made it a habit to look for and to listen for God. I told him I thought he'd been well named because his experiences reminded me so much of the biblical Samuel, the one that was just read for us from 1 Samuel 3. It's a story that we all often hear as a child in Sunday school. When I was younger, I always liked the idea of God speaking to someone young. Not having to wait until I was a grown-up to hear from God. And you illustrated that well for us. But I don't think it's the only thing that we can learn from this story. I think there are deep truths that we can take away. truths for all of us, even those of us who may not be considered young anymore, just asking kids. It has to do with posture, the posture of our minds and our hearts, our posture about how we think we do or don't fit into what God is doing. So we know the story. Samuel is serving the Lord in the temple as Eli's assistant. Eli is the priest, and he's old. He's nearly blind. Now, I'm not quite there yet, but with my 50th birthday a little over a month away, I'm probably nearer to Eli's place in life than I am to Samuel's. And here's the thing that I find so disheartening about Eli. He's not just physically losing his sight. We learn in the chapters that precede chapter 3 that he's actively turning a blind eye to the wickedness of his sons. There are reports that they are abusing their position and their influence as priests, and he's done nothing about it. He's deaf to what matters to God and blind to how God is at work. This is a man who was born into the priestly line. His life has been devoted to serving the Lord in the tabernacle, and yet his heart has become hard. And not only the whispers, but the flat-out warnings of God have fallen deafly on his ears. The text tells us that messages from God were very rare in those days. Could it be that it wasn't that God had stopped speaking, but that rather his people, and especially their spiritual leaders, had become generally unresponsive to God's messaging? And yet, there was still at least one open to the whisper of God. In the quiet and the dim, God calls out, "Sam, Sam." And Samuel wakes up, hears it, and jumps into action. "Yes, what is it?" Running to Eli, he says, "Here I am, what do you need?" But it's not Eli who called. "Samuel, go back to bed." 3 times this happens. "Here I am, what do you need?" Every time Samuel's response is the same. He's ready to act, he jumps up and runs. "What do you need?" Scripture says Samuel did not yet know the Lord because he had never had a message from the Lord. But unlike Eli, Samuel is responsive. He jumps up. He's ready to act. He has no idea what he's doing, but at least he's willing. And somehow, I think this is a posture that pleases God. Enough so that God continues to call out, waiting for Samuel to catch on. Sometimes I find myself in that space. I don't know about you. Ready to act, willing to act, but with absolutely no idea where to go or what to do. And I imagine God as amused with Samuel's desire to obey, even though it's slightly misdirected. And I suspect God has moments watching each of us when he smiles and shakes his head as only a loving father can, and he waits for us, you and me, to catch on to what he's doing. But there is something in that moment, the repetition, maybe a faded memory of another late night long since past, spent in the quiet with God, that jogs Eli's understanding. Whatever it is, Eli discerns that this might be God in the being. And he redirects Samuel. And he does it with the wisdom of someone who was once receptive to this kind of experience with God, of one who used to recognize God's voice. He suggests that Samuel adjusts his posture. "Go and lie down again, and if someone calls again, say, 'Yes, Lord, your servant is listening.'" No jumping into overdrive, no running. Just wait, be still, and listen. So that's what Samuel does the 4th time. When God calls him, Samuel answers with focused attention and stillness. His posture moves from being rearing to go with absolutely no idea where he's headed to self-controlled stillness. From a readiness for action without focus to a willingness to wait for instruction. From calling out with offers of problem solving to a heightened alertness and listening to what God has to say. Maybe you're like me. My natural reaction when I am called upon is an active response to, what do you need? What can I do? What's the problem? How do I solve it? And while I think that desire to obey and respond pleases God, it doesn't always lead us precisely how and where God wants us to be. God didn't need Samuel to do anything except stay put, be still, and listen. And he actually kept running away, going to Eli. It gives me hope that in those moments when at first I don't get what God is doing, when I want to spring into action, however misdirected I might be, that there's a good chance God will gently keep trying with me, giving me opportunities to be still and to wait and to listen and to receive what he has in mind for me. And only after God gets Samuel to pause and listen does Samuel have an active role to play. Well, back to my friend Sam from Rwanda. After the pause, he steps slowly into where he thought God was leading. The first year of university didn't really grab him, but he stayed the course. The second year didn't really do it either, but he kept at it. And in the third year of his studies, a new dream began to take shape. He believed his understanding of soil science had life-changing potential for smallholder subsistence farmers. He and several students came together to form a club, believing that agriculture could be smart and sustainable, and they could drive it. And as a club, they began to conduct the research and practical experiments using what they knew. Academics that they worked with criticized them, saying they didn't know enough and that passion wasn't enough. But as Sam likes to say, the proof was in the yield. The Bold Student Club has since grown into a nationally recognized, award-winning agritech company, transforming Rwanda's agricultural landscape. Sam is their research and innovation director. His work both with Agri-Research Unkuga and as a project manager for MCC's partnership with WFP, that's the UN's World Food Program, is making a life-changing difference in Rwanda. And I witnessed it in action. There I saw farmer field schools where conservation and agriculture techniques are being taught. Things like minimal soil disturbance to improve fertility, soil coverage with the crops like what we talked about, the pigeon peas, to avoid erosion and increase moisture, and intercropping and crop rotation. MCC's conservation agriculture program there also includes nutritional education, so that as farmers are building and growing healthy foods and farms, they're actually reaping the benefits of the nutrition because they understand how the building blocks of nutrition work. It includes village and savings and loan groups that are convened to promote financial literacy and practice and to build social cohesion. And there's peace building baked right into the program. Because if a farmer goes to field school, when they're done, they have to tell five more farmers about what they've learned. I met some of the farmers at two different field schools that we visited, and I heard their stories. Crop yields are increasing, sometimes more than fivefold, and it's strengthening their capacity, both in food security and in income generation. Less than 10 years ago, conservation agriculture practices were either unknown or seen as disruptive in Rwanda. But in 2025, MCC spearheaded a national symposium for conservation agriculture. A coalition of partners has come together since to promote the adoption of conservation agriculture nationally and to advocate for the incorporation of these practices into government policy and planning. The transformative potential for farmers and their families is nothing short of extraordinary and exponential. But when you listen to Sam, well, all that's happening is remarkable. He's talking about soil that still really lights him up. You can even see it on the video, that big smile. Why? Because for him, soil is not just soil for soil's sake. He sees it as an unmistakable connection to God's presence and provision. When I asked him to explain, he reminded me, in the beginning, what did God use to create human beings? I answered, the dust of the ground. He said, right, soil. And what grows everything we need to be nourished and sustained? I answered again with a little more confidence this time. Dirt. At that, he smiled widely and said, yes. And to what do we return when we die? At this point, I knew I had the answer. Soil. For Sam, soil is an incredible gift from God. It's our source and a constant reminder that God provides all that we need. Studying soil has been God's invitation to Sam to step into a role and a space where he is helping to bring about change in ways he never could have imagined or dreamed. All this from a guy who less than a decade ago didn't know what agronomy was. God's plan for Sam was different than Sam's plan for Sam. But now I suspect he couldn't imagine it any other way. And it all started with a wrinkle, a moment of choice, an intentional pause in the push forward into action. And then a tentative yes to what he thought might be God at work, even when the way forward was completely unknown. And my guess is that it won't be the last time this happens for Sam. Because when we say yes to God, we're trusted time and again with roles to play. And sometimes it comes unexpectedly, and sometimes it comes in ways that make us uncomfortable. Let's go back to the Old Testament, Sam. His task the next morning was one that no one would envy, because even God characterizes it as a shocking thing he's about to do. And Samuel gets to be the messenger. God has warned Eli and waited, but Eli hasn't responded, and God is done with being ignored. Samuel is told that judgment is coming for both Eli and his sons, and he's afraid to tell Eli what the Lord had said to him. But Eli calls out to him, Samuel, my son. Here I am, Samuel replies. What did the Lord say to you? Tell me everything. And he gets a little dramatic. And may God strike you and even kill you if you hide anything from me. All of a sudden, Eli is very interested in what God has to say. So Samuel tells Eli everything. He doesn't hold anything back. And Eli says, it's the Lord's will. Let him do what he thinks is best. And Samuel becomes a trusted messenger, a confirmed prophet of the Lord. So this morning, I wonder where you find yourself when it comes to being a part of what God is doing in the world. Our world is in desperate need for the people of God to be the hands and the feet and the heart of God to our neighbors, both here and across the world. Are you like Eli, walking blind and deaf, you're tuned out because the evil and pain and suffering in the world seems so out of control and you feel overwhelmed and helpless? It's not too late. Eli missed multiple opportunities to listen and turn back to God in repentance. He missed stepping back into the life-giving relationship with the one who created and called him. But we don't have to. Maybe you're like, initial response, Samuel, ready, willing, without any idea where to go, what to do. God used the wisdom of an imperfect mentor to help Samuel focus on next steps. Who do you know and trust that you can share your dreams with? Or maybe you're the imperfect mentor that's been needing to speak into someone's life. This is the moment you've been waiting for. And I hope all of us will learn to make space to be people who practice Samuel's ultimate response, to still our hearts and minds before God, to wait on him, to listen to him, and then to act, bringing hope and help and healing to the world around us in all the ways that he calls us to. For Sam, it was soil science. For you, it's going to be something completely different. But here's what I know. God knows you. And God wants to walk with you and partner with you to change the world that is into the world that should be. If we'll just lay on him, he'll show us you. And Father God, I thank you that you are our creator. You see us and you know us, and you invite us into life-giving and transforming relationships. And then you give us jobs to do to make a difference in the world around us, whether that's here in our local community, sharing your love and your grace with people we come across in our neighborhoods, schools, stores, groups that we interact with, or whether that's helping to support people in parts of the world who find themselves in incredibly vulnerable situations, having a hard time growing food, having a hard time taking care of basic needs. God, you've called us to be people who respond with love and compassion. And I pray that you would give us the wisdom to know how you're leading each of us to do that today. For we ask these things, Jesus, in your holy and precious name. Amen.